All right. We are about ready to start. I love you, Masakela. Nothing more grounding when you need to be grounded, when you need to get back in touch with the essential earth. I love you, Masakela. No more messing with the weather. And in the world we want, right? Nobody's going to be messing with the weather. That's just the truth. We don't want a manufactured reality. We want our earth as she was made, as she makes us. Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, October 18th, 2015 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Sisters and brothers, we are reclaiming our authentic selves. And in order to do that, we need support. We need others similarly focused on the development of self-soul sufficiency, individually as well as on our development collectively into a people able to advance our right to pursue happiness. We've forgotten what that means, to be a people, and that's not by accident. So we're going to have to reconstitute ourselves into a people, and that does not by any means negate our existence as fully developing individualities. We have the right here, the codified right in the Declaration of Independence, to pursue happiness as a people. But then we need not stop there. We cannot stop there. Power is global. And though we may inspire with our actions others around the world, we have to support those actions around the world and advance the right to own and grow our own gifts, self-creation for all of our brothers and sisters globally. What's unique about this moment? Different from any other when our ancestors fought for freedom. Unique in the history of class is that we are in the end game. The time when all power's lies are exposed and our internalization of them pulled out and examined. And we decide where our allegiances lie. Whether with the earth connected, whether with the Zapatistas, whether with the oceans and all life, or with those 10,000 power guys. A teaching moment, we might say, when we chip away at the numbers of folk willing to serve a dying system. And we're going to be talking more and more about that. And the fact that the system is dying does not mean, the apocalypse or, chaos or anything like that. It simply means that it is premised on, as everyone knows, pretty much, it's not sustainably based. It's based on eating that which is finite, and we are in that time when they cannot rape her any further and therefore use her bounty. That is to say, use our bounty, because we're the ones who grow the food. So we have to get clearer on this notion of the economy, because there's a lot of confusion out there about it, and a lot of false allegiance is given to a system for feeding us when it is really the earth and ourselves we have always fed ourselves, but we've never been able to fairly be credited or distribute the results of our hard work. And so we need to create a system that is not a system. Scratch, scratch, I'll edit that. We need to create a new social arrangement that is honest. I say that a lot, but we're going to have to think about what that means. Those who do the work are recognized. All of our innovation. We actually see with our own eyes, with our exchanges mutually around the world, who we owe our lives to, and it is ourselves. And that needs to be patently obvious in the world we make for ourselves. So we need to confront what gets in the way, because what is honest and straightforward should be the easiest thing to exist in the world. You know, no energy wastage and propaganda and lies and finessing and hiding the truth. That's another thing we're going to be talking a lot about. You know, just the energy efficiency of honesty, of life living freely. So what are the barriers to our doing that? In essence, there's just one: hidden power. Power in any of its many guises. And I think there's some advantage, some ways in which it's helpful for us to understand where they came from, these Plato worshippers. And we're reading excerpts from Karl Marx's The 18th Brumaire and Emanuel Wallerstein's The Modern World System, for Centrist Liberalism Triumphant, 1789 to 1914, and Alice Miller's For Your Own Good, The Roots of Violence in What's Called Child Rearing, Violence, and we are discussing totalitarianism. We're reading these folk to help us understand where they came from, these Plato worshippers, how they think, and then hence the kinds of things they do to destroy our hope, and why they are so determined to do them. And that it is important for us to see the kinds of tactics they will use inevitably to try to undermine solidarity in whatever ways we're able to build it, as well as the psychological dynamics at play that prevent them from remembering their early experience of abuse and resulting loss of authentic feeling, loss of their authentic self, prevent them from remembering their early resistance to the coercive pressure to obey authority, known euphemistically as child rearing under class, which means that appeals to their compassion or reason are useless. It's important to see power's destructive tactics in order to move around them. What are the kinds of things they will want to do to undermine our solidarity, and how do we withstand such attempts? Clearly, self-preservation, in a short-term, narrow sense, or rather, we should say their special privilege preservation, propels their obsession with clandestine tactics, their dedicated focus on knowing what we think, their grim determination to prevent our organizing successfully on our own behalf. These have been obsessions of power from day one, since class begun. The Zapatistas use conflict resolution to ensure there is no erosion of group cohesion, which is, I think, useful guidance, something we also must design, but of a kind crafted to our particular challenges, those being the fact that the process of digestion of us by the state is ongoing, continuously wears on us, attempts to break down our carefully crafted alternative allegiances. And our self-sufficiency knowledges are meager compared to the Zapatistas, as is our understanding of the earth as the source of authentic thought, its concepts and language. And that's one of the most key gifts they have shared with us. And we have not yet created autonomous, physical and otherwise, structures that necessarily question the legitimacy of the state, which is a recent invention for folks who might hear that as being audacious, questioning the legitimacy of the state. They haven't been thinking with an historical lens. It is an extremely recent invention. We are a creative species, and we are so eager to move on. And we need to use our creative faculties to do that now, collectively. And we have no communal living arrangements or land held communally. Also by design. Everything under class is by design. That's the point. On the other hand, we possess technological advantages, tools, that allow us to organize globally. And that's key, because we got to do this globally. Power is global. That's one of those key messages we're going to reiterate when we educate with our brothers and sisters, that allow us to be more outward focused in our allegiance, identity, vision, and planning. Particularly as we begin with some understanding, some premises, as far as I know, not available to the Zapatistas. For instance, a clearer understanding of the motives of power, that their motives are totalitarian, not pecuniary, i.e. that the problem is class, not capitalism. And so the power guys' assaults on us, they view through their own totalitarian utilitarian lens as necessary, as quote-unquote for the greater good. We know that they cannot be moved by reason, and this is not to suggest that the Zapatistas think they can. It's irrelevant, I think. Anyone who engages with power gets this pretty quickly. It doesn't matter, because whether or not they are moved by reason or compassion is irrelevant. Command exists but with obedience. The moment we claim our own energy back, they disappear, pure and simple. It don't matter what they think. What matters is what we think. And we need to start working with our brothers and sisters to allow us to think authentically, more and more of us, to achieve that critical mass of resistance. Because otherwise, it's unthinkable what these guys have in mind, the tools that they have to achieve what they have in mind, and the fact that they care nothing about us. And whether or not some folk in the U.S. can eke out a reasonably comfortable existence is irrelevant. We have all of our brothers and sisters in our hearts and minds as we plan. We are in this together. We are not going to allow any more genocide, clandestine or otherwise. And that has been, we know, one of their tactics for limiting population and controlling it as Plato dictated, part of that propaganda playbook they cherish and live by, the Republic. They tend to genocide, open and otherwise, and the use of EMF weapons to limit and control us. Literally limit the population. I would be very interested to see the statistics on the use of these. Well, we can't at this point, and we don't want to waste energy on it, prove when they started using these. I think we can assume it was somewhere in the 60s, given that experiment at Yale in 61. But assuming their use of these weapons began, say, in the 70s, it would be very interesting to see the correspondence between those decades, 70s on up, and the incidence of cancers and Alzheimer's and heart attacks in the population. You know, once we start coming together and planning, feel that such persuasive argument is needed, we can, you know, grind out some stats, but it really is not needed for us to make a persuasive argument for our freedom. We want this. We simply need to trust and believe that what our bodies have been telling us is the only way, listening to our bodies is the only way we can create a just world, based on the principles that have always mattered to us, we the people, honesty and beauty and freedom and respect for life. So, and we understand that they will prod us on to war, particularly in those low end on the status continuum regions of the world, since hierarchy, as folks who listen to that excerpt from a previous show that I posted on the economy heard that argument already, that hierarchy is key ideology to maintain, the notion that merit rises, to maintain their legitimacy, the legitimacy of rule itself. And when we become too threatening to them, war has always been what they've done to reduce the numbers of the population. I.e., with the Zapatistas, we understand that we represent for humanity itself. But we, here in the U.S. particularly, and the West, quote-unquote, using the common understanding of that, we have to accept the responsibility attendant upon our location in the belly of the beast, the wider legal space we inhabit that's available to us, to actively organize for the freedom of the human being globally after 10,000 years of class.